Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, or good evening, depending on when you are listening to this. I'm sorry I did not get a blog up last week with everything going on. I just didn't get a chance to do it, but we are back. And I was going to say better than ever, but we're back in generally just the same as we have been in the past. So with everything that is going on right now in the world, whether you are in lockdown or quarantine, or whether you're self isolating or social distancing, maybe you need something to cheer you up a little bit. So I hopefully today's blog will do just that for you. I decided today that we were going to do a little bit of a funny blog, and I thought, what do most people like? What interests most people? Well, animals. Everybody loves hysterical animal stories. And because this is a romantic history blog, I had to include history somewhere in there, right? So we are going to talk about funny animal stories throughout history today. Some of them are funny, some of them are just plain weird, but I think you will enjoy all of them. So what is better during isolation than listening to my voice? I'm sure you can all think of absolutely nothing, and that's what I choose to believe. Okay, so to get started, the first one is a short little anecdote. So at Andrew Jackson's funeral, you'll know the historical American Andrew Jackson. At his funeral, his parrot was there. And it was actually ended up having to be removed during the funeral in 1845 because it had sworn so many times and for such a long period of time that people were actually getting upset with the cursing, and they had to remove the parrot from his funeral. Knowing a few parrots in my life who have had quite the, colorful vocabulary, this didn't really surprise me that much. So, next one, moving swiftly along. During World War II, Russia decided that they were going to use dogs, train dogs, to blow up tanks, enemy tanks. So they would strap bombs to these dogs, and which is terribly sad, stay with me, I promise, it gets funnier, and teach them to run under the tanks, and then the bomb would go off and obviously the dog would blow up, but so would the tank. So what could go wrong with this plan, correct? Well, they were training the dogs in Russia. And often the dogs who were being trained would run under their own tanks in battle. They would run under the Russian tanks and blow up the tanks, because those are what they were trained to run under. So instead of blowing up the enemy tanks, they would take these dogs with bombs strapped on them to battle, and they would end up blowing up their own tanks. So serves you right, Russia. Another one, World War One this time. After World War One was finished, the Australian military, when they returned to Australia, started something called the Great Emu War. It was called that after the fact, but basically they needed to cull or selectively kill an abundance of the wild emu population. So the Australians decided that machine guns would be the way to do this. So they fired, 2,500 rounds of machine gun ammunition at the emus, and not a single emu was killed. So emus 1, Australians 0. Are we sensing a theme? The next story is not so much funny as it is just adorable and kind of miraculous. So this is a story of Unsinkable Sam. Now, Unsinkable Sam was a black and white cat living in World War II that time, and he actually survived 3 different torpedoings and sinkings of warships he was on in 1941. So 3 ships in 1 year, 3 torpedoes, 3 sinkings. He survived each time. So the Bismarck, which sunk in May of 1941, he was on that. The Cossack, which sunk in October, he was on that. And then the HMS Ark Royal sunk in November, and he was on that as well. He was always found by people, troops. He was floating around with the debris after each of the sinkings, but he was always unharmed. So on his last rescue, somebody actually got a quote from one of the British soldiers who rescued him, and all the quote said was that he was angry but unharmed. So rightly so. I mean, by the second boat, the cat was probably like, guys, seriously, like, could you just leave me on land? But anyway, after the third sinking, he was actually left on land, and he died eventually in 1955. So yeah, I would have been angry too, Unsinkable Sam. I would have been angry too. Just cause. So this next story, some of you might have heard of. It is in several places on the internet as one of the, hilarious historical facts that come up when you get some of those BuzzFeed lists. So Napoleon, we all know Napoleon, and we all know his upsetting defeat at Waterloo and how that was probably his worst defeat of all times. Well, that's wrong. In 1807, Napoleon was celebrating, and he set up a hunt of rabbits. He wanted to do a rabbit hunt in this big event, and he had people set it up for him. And this was, an outdoor luncheon followed by a hunt, and they were going to have all the military high-ups and everyone there. Now, he had people capture, 3,000 rabbits to release at this hunt. So first of all, that is an exorbitant amount of rabbits to hunt. How many people were hunting? In my head, I'm picturing, 40 guys, just 3,000 rabbits. But, whatever floats your boat, Napoleon. So he gets men to capture these rabbits to be released at the hunt. And so the hunt is, starting, and the men are out there. And when they open the cages in this field, the rabbits didn't scurry away in fright like rabbits, you would think rabbits would. They actually ran towards the hunters in the herd of 3,000 of them. So at first, the hunters and the people at the luncheon and everything are laughing because it's hilarious. I would be laughing, just a giant herd of bunnies running towards you. But as the rabbits got closer, people started to realize that they weren't going to stop once they reached the hunters. So the rabbits actually started to climb up the emperor's, so up Napoleon's legs, onto his jacket. They were biting him in the legs, and he is trying to, so let's just picture this. He's trying to hit them off with his riding crop, but the rabbits just keep coming, and people around them are trying to hit them down with sticks and, protect the emperor. And we have one guy cracking a bullwhip in an attempt to scare off these rabbits, and they just kept coming. Nothing they could do would stop this herd of rabbits. So as fast as they were knocking them down off Napoleon, more rabbits were climbing up. So eventually the hunters, and Napoleon especially, took off running towards the carriage, and he managed to get into the carriage, and a few rabbits even got into the carriage with him before he actually managed to have his driver drive the carriage away. And that's what actually stopped the onslaught of rabbits, was the carriages actually fleeing the scene of the hunt. So later, after all the rabbit dust settled, they actually looked into it, and it turns out the men in charge of obtaining and trapping the rabbits, instead of trapping wild rabbits, bought these 3,000 rabbits from a multitude of farmers in the area. So the rabbits were actually used to being fed by people. I wouldn't say handled, but fed by people. So when the cages were open, the rabbits were in a frenzy, feed mode, and that's what ended up making them attack Napoleon. So again, rabbits 1, Napoleon 0. The next one is about a Greek philosopher named, I'm going to try this, Chrysippus is what I want to say. And he actually died of laughter, so it is written. So I'm assuming it's probably a heart attack or a stroke, but it's written that he died of laughter. But what was he laughing at? What does this have to do with animals, Emma? Well, he decided, as we all do, that he was going to get his donkey super drunk and then watch it trying to eat figs. And so that is what recorded as what is recorded as what killed him, that he died of laughter because his donkey was drunk and he was watching it try to drunkenly eat figs. So, you know, to each your own. If that's your jam, Chrysippus, then go for it. So, moving on. In 1493, Columbus, we all know Columbus, you know, he thought that he saw mermaids in the ocean on one of his voyages. And he is quoted as saying, "They were not as pretty as they are depicted, for somehow in the face they look like a man." So he wrote that down, and that's what he's quoted in saying. And it's suspected that what he actually saw were manatees in the ocean. So if you've ever seen a manatee in real life, or even in a picture or on YouTube and seen how they move, I really suggest you Google it and just burn menfolk, because that is, that's really something to think that a manatee not only is a mermaid, but it's not pretty enough to be a girl mermaid, and it must look like a man mermaid. So my apologies to all the men, whiskery men out there who might be offended by this blog. So remember the bomb dogs that we talked about, the Russian bomb dogs who blew up the Russian tanks instead of blowing up the proper tanks? Well, in World War II, again, it was a really good time, a Pennsylvania dentist, we're going to come back to that because I've got questions, convinced President Roosevelt to bomb Japan with timed explosives that were attached to thousands of bats. So my first point, who is this dentist that has the president's ear and can convince him of something so, well, to me, outlandish, to just strap a bunch of explosive to bats and send them in? And first, why is this, and second, why is this everybody's go-to, you know, like strap explosives to animals? In ancient China, Chinese pirates used to light monkeys on fire and shoot them at boats. Are they trying to reenact that? Is it just trying to create chaos? So these armed bats, needless to say, didn't go as planned, and the armed bats were accidentally released, and they blew up the training facility and the testing facility that they were using. So it's not like they even escaped. They were accidentally released. So not only did you think it was a good idea to strap explosives to bats, during the testing, you accidentally released said bats and they blew up your testing and training facility. So the project was scrapped, needless to say. Now, if anybody knows whether animals have successfully been able to bomb anything during the war, please let me know. Because so far, anything I found just shows that the animals win and we are giant failures. So, last point and closing point. I was going to include a story about Emperor Caligula and the fact that he made his horse a senator. Now, I thought this is hilarious, you know? He has this horse, and we all know that Caligula is crazy, and he was noted for being insane, and so him making his horse a senator wouldn't really be that far-fetched, you know? He had marble stalls and gold flakes in the horse's food and all of this stuff. But it turns out that there is actually no real evidence historically that ever happened. The person who wrote this story first lived quite a while after Caligula, so it wouldn't have been a first-hand source, and just probably wrote a sensationalized story based on the fact that, you know, he was crazy and he did have an unrealistic adoration for this horse. So, a little bit of a debunk there. It is seeming that Caligula did not actually make his horse a senator, but it is a fact that you'll find online quoted a lot in, like I said, the lists of rare historic events or funny historic events. So that is all I have for you this week. I hope that everyone stays safe and stays happy and healthy. And as a public service announcement, please, everybody try to remember to not strap bombs to your pets and blow up your family members during this time of isolation in the house with them 24 hours a day. I will also be trying to follow my own advice. Okay, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you again next week. Bye.